just got a little better, thanks to Merry Man Herbs.
Listen in to Merry Man Herbs, It's a Better Life Show, every first and third Sunday on 1340 Radio AM for the latest in holistic, natural, and alternative health information. Mike King will bring you a little fun with interesting health tips and the up-to-date, scientifically-based health news. He will interview some of the leading doctors, scientists, and leaders in the holistic health fields. Stay on top of your health and start getting a better life.
Life just got a little better, thanks to Merry Man Herbs.
The following information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. It is for educational purposes only. Always seek the advice of your qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding your medical condition.
Today, we have with us the Chief of Scientific Affairs and Education, Cheryl Myers. We've been talking about iodine quite a bit. Last time, I think we went through about everything we know, but it's come up to me that there's a type of iodine called nascent iodine. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
It's a newer form of iodine that some companies are working with. It's an altered form of iodine, so it's not the same kind of iodine as you find, for example, like in nature and plants and such.
Right.
There are some claims, and it's an interesting form. However, there's no human studies on it yet.
Ah.
So, yeah, that's one of the issues, that when we come up with altered forms of minerals that are essential, then I like to see some good, solid human work before I go out and say, This is the cat's meow.
Right. Well, I know it basically comes from the mineral from the ground, and then they activate it, or what's all involved with that?
I understand it completely either. It's a little vague when you read it in the literature.
Uh-huh.
But they do alter it in some ways, and they think that by these alterations it might be better absorbed and more easily utilized. But as I said, I'm all for science and discovering new ways of doing things.
Right.
Because sometimes we make some enormous breakthroughs in health. But until there's human work done on it, we don't know whether it's just an interesting theory or if there's problems that when you try to take that theory and apply it to the human body, which tends to be ornery and cantankerous when it comes to bearing out the theories of the scientists, until that happens, I'm sort of having a cautious waiting.
Well, you know, there's a lot of hype on the internet, and my customers have kind of, you know, think that they're always looking for the latest and the best new thing, and sometimes that isn't always the best. I really wonder kind of about the bioavailability of it, because I know triiodine, you know, it's a holistic iodine. It's very bioavailable. The other thing, too, is, you know, sometimes people ask me a little bit about elemental iodine. I know on the label it says elemental. Can you tell me a little bit about that? I'm assuming it comes from kelp.
Yes. The elemental iodine is a form of iodine that's sort of, I guess you call it free-floating.
Okay.
Iodine in nature most often is, when you look at the mineral sources, it's always bound to something else. And that's the way it is with a lot of minerals. So, for example, calcium. You never just have calcium. If you read the label carefully, it's calcium chloride, calcium carbonate, calcium glycinate, calcium citrate. Minerals, by definition, are most generally bound to other things. And so when you look at, there's two definitions of elemental. When you look at the delivery of a mineral, when it's within the context of other compounds, like calcium carbonate might be 500 milligrams, but the actual calcium content might be 125 milligrams.
Uh-huh.
And so they call that the elemental amount of calcium in the calcium carbonate. And so when companies do it right, when they do their supplement facts box on the label,
mm-hmm.
they list the elemental amount in the in each of them.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Amount.
Right.
So the other definition of elemental in this case, when we look at iodine, is that in this case, it's iodine, but it's not within necessarily the context of another mineral. And that happens in kelp and some sea vegetables. The problem with kelp, and we do use kelp as a source because we think it's an awesome source and it's natural and it's very healthy, but you have to be really, really careful because the same activities of this little plant that concentrate the iodine concentrate some other things in our oceans that we aren't too keen on. We have not been very good stewards of our environment,
right.
And there's a lot of stuff in the ocean, heavy metals like
lead mercury,
right.
Yeah.
And a lot of pesticides, herbicides like DDT, there's PCBs, there's things floating in the water that you have to be really careful when you use a kelp source to make sure that you're not getting a lot of the other stuff along with it. So We have had, that's probably our biggest struggle when it comes to iodine, is we want to keep the kelp source as much as we can, but we also are extremely diligent to make sure that it's pure enough to meet our standards.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah, I know a lot of the companies that I deal with and the products I deal with have really stringent quality control, and I always get upset. I was reading in the other day one of the doctor's recommendations in the newspaper, and he's like, well, you know, supplements aren't regulated, and supplements, you know, they don't do testing. And I thought, oh, my gosh, if he knows as much
in
about
the dark ages,
if he knows as much about medicine as he does about the statement that he just made, we're in really, really big trouble because he doesn't know anything. Yeah. So anyway.
Well, you know, unfortunately in the media, what happens is if you say something enough, it seems to be true.
Yes,
and,
yeah,
and
we're
so
seeing that.
And then people are shocked when they find out it's not true. So
yeah.
This guy might, who knows, he might be well-intentioned, but he thinks he knows what he knows. He thinks he's heard other people say, oh, it's a, I've actually heard government officials say this.
Yeah.
It's a wild, wild west out there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like a big free-for-all. Well, that is ridiculous. Supplements are regulated even more stringently than food is. They used to be regulated the same. It used to be that dietary supplements had to meet food standards.
Right, right.
And I didn't like that. The companies that I've worked for have always gone over and above that because here's my theory. If you're making chocolate chips and chocolate chip cookies, and one cookie has 9 chocolate chips and the next cookie has 2 chocolate chips, you're not going to hurt anybody. You might make some kids angry.
Where's my chocolate? Yeah.
Where's my chocolate chip?
Right.
It's not going to hurt anybody. But if you're making supplements and you get 100 milligrams in one dose and 12 milligrams in the next dose in the same bottle, which was happening in some instances in people that weren't following the best guidelines, then you're not going to get the benefits that you pay for. In fact, in rare cases, they may even cause some problems.
Yes, right,
so,
yeah.
So they upgraded the regulations for dietary supplements, and now they're even more stringent than they are for food. So there's always been regulations
right.
as far as you have to have clean manufacturing. You know, you have to pass FDA inspections to make sure that...
See, this is it. I think a lot of people don't realize that
oh
all
gosh.
Of these supplement companies are FDA inspected. They're like, well, it's not FDA, you know, it may not necessarily claims... May not you've got to get those FDA approved that like, well, you know, this prevents heart disease or reduces your incidence of cancer or something like that, you know, to make a claim. But as far as inspection and safety, the FDA is all over it. I know we've had even it's rare, but once in a while you have a recall on something because maybe they didn't fully disclose that they used a little touch of fish oil in their formulation. The FDA is like, oh, no, you better have that on the label if you're going to use it.
Right, or you know, sometimes recalls happen to very reputable companies, and
yeah.
they happen because the companies are reputable, and they're
testing.
Maybe there's
yeah.
a mistake made in manufacturing, and they put in 2,000 IUs instead of 1,000 IUs of vitamin A, and they figure, well, you know, we want to make sure that the dosage on the label is accurate, and so they'll recall it because a mistake was made. But sometimes you're right. Sometimes they do find problems, and sometimes products are taken off the market.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about how the iodine affects the thyroid. Now, I've got customers that are getting very, very concerned. August 13th, 2013, there was a big flap that came out about levothyroxine, I think also known as Synthroid, that it actually significantly increases your risk for lung cancer. So, okay, you're on this pharmaceutical for years, and then all of a sudden maybe you were a smoker, and then you're getting lung cancer. So that was something that was still of major concern. I think the studies were done in Italy in 18 regions, actually during 2010, and they focused on women aged 30 to 84. So it's a pretty big flap in the industry. I know it's very controversial. There's a lot of people that will make the claim that basically the synthetic drug that pushes the T4 or produces T4 in your body actually increases your incidence of osteoporosis. It's kind of controversial because if you have thyroid issues, you're also going to have issues with osteoporosis too. So those are
well,
the two. Go ahead.
It's compl- wow, it's just complicated, isn't
it?
You know, and I feel sorry for consumers because they take something to save their life and then they find out it's causing harm.
Right.
And they have to make, well, what's more important to me? Do I take the risk that I'm causing harm or do I go back to not having enough thyroid hormone? First,
right.
The thyroid gland is in your neck. It's shaped like a butterfly. It has two lobes.
Right.
The thyroid gland makes hormones that tell your body how quickly and how efficiently to turn fuel, which we call calories, into energy.
It's like a thermostat.
So if you have a lot of thyroid hormone, you're going to click right through those calories, burn. And you're going to have lots of energy, and you're probably not going to put on very much extra weight. But if calories, and by the way, did you know that calories, I bet you know this, but I bet some of your listeners may not know, is the word calorie itself, the measurement of calories is the amount of heat that's produced by
yes.
the food when it's burned.
Right.
A lot of people don't know that it's a measure of heat, that it's an energy release measure. So if calories do not get turned into energy, they get turned into the storage form of energy, which I have my fair share of the storage form yeah. of energy, and that's called fat.
Oh no, you don't, Cheryl. You're not. You're not overweight. Unless you gained a bunch of weight.
Well, you know, we all want a little bit of the storage form of energy.
Sure.
We just don't want too much of that storage form of energy.
Right.
So as the thyroid slows down, and in every human on the planet, it slows down somewhat with age.
Sure.
But in the healthiest of healthy individuals, either blessed by genetics or they have an incredibly healthy lifestyle, that decline is barely noticeable. But in other individuals, and it's becoming more and more and more and more common, and I think it's a thyroid crisis, and more individuals, it's happening at younger and younger ages, and it's more dramatic. And so we see people who, they have no energy and they're packing on the pounds. Those are the first two things they notice. But they may not also understand that the energy that is dictated by the thyroid gland is not just the energy for you to go grocery shopping or for you to play a game of basketball. That energy is also for your bones to knit,
mm-hmm.
for your hair to grow, for your heart to beat,
your nails,
for your lungs
yeah.
to expand. Yeah,
right.
So for your brain cells to fire.
Right.
This is they call that basal metabolic rate, BMR. That is your basic energy to stay alive. So when you start to have disruptions in the regulation of the single most crucial things our body needs to survive, which is energy, then you're going to see trickle down in a lot of areas. So people who have suboptimal, not even full-out hypothyroidism, which is such low thyroid function that you have to be on thyroid hormone.
Right.
But suboptimal means you're not at the good place, but maybe you're not all the way to the diagnosis place yet either.
Just starting to slow down. Yeah, yeah.
It's starting to slow down, or maybe it's slowed down a lot. The tests can be a little bit wacky, and they don't always pick up everyone who has significant thyroid issues. Well, then your risk for osteoporosis goes up. Your risk for heart disease goes up. Your body is just not able to do what your body needs to do. You're going to be more prone to certain types of infections and illnesses. You're going to catch colds more easily because your immune system runs on energy, too. Heck, it's like somebody pulled the plug out of their lifestyle.
Yeah, well, I know with iodine, too, you know, it's a really great preventer for different types of cancers. And, of course, it's really good. It helps with your weight and your metabolism. It helps with the migraine headaches. Brain fog, it helps to improve focus, and of course, you know, your hair and your skin and your nails. And another thing that I think is real interesting is it kind of helps to stop food cravings. I know when you're low in certain minerals and so forth, you get like magnesium, you crave chocolate and things like that. So, you know, it's got a multitude of different things. A big question I want to throw in here, I don't want to interrupt, but can everybody take iodine? I've had customers, well, my thyroid gland is gone and I can't take iodine, or I'm allergic to iodine, or I have an issue with iodine. You know, it's an essential mineral. It's like, well, can I stop drinking water? But can you explain that in a little bit more detail? I know people will get they'll get a little detox reaction sometimes when they start in on the iodine because it's so cleansing for the body. But can everybody take iodine?
Well, I don't like to say absolutes, but I would say nearly everybody can take iodine. Some of the issues that you brought up, and you brought up a lot of the things that I hear about every day as well. Number one, well, I'm allergic to iodine. Well, most people are not allergic to iodine. They're allergic to one of two things. They're allergic to seafood, or they're allergic to a dye that they use in diagnostic procedures, which they put this iodine-based dye into the bloodstream, and then they watch it circulate through the body. So mm-hmm. it sort of lights up different areas so that they can get better visualization. For example, there's one called IVP, intravenous pyelogram, which looks specifically at how the kidneys are functioning. Well,
okay.
sometimes people have allergic reactions to this dye. That's not the same as being allergic to the element iodine. If you were allergic to iodine, you know, there's iodine, there's small amounts of iodine in milk, for example. Well, if you drink a glass of milk, do you have an allergic reaction? Well, maybe if you're allergic to the milk, but the other issue with seafood is that seafood is very rich in iodine.
Right, oh,
and
yeah.
Shellfish,
oh,
yeah. Shellfish is very rich in iodine. So people have allergic reactions to shrimp and then start to say, and somebody tells them about, oh, it's the iodine. No, it's the protein in the shellfish and the seafood. Most people are allergic
chondroitin.
To proteins,
right. yeah.
not to the mineral content.
Okay.
Now, in the rarest of rare situations, there have been instances where people are allergic to or have an allergic reaction triggered by taking an element like iodine or calcium or magnesium, which seems odd, but it's true, that for some reason that flips a switch in their body and they have a reaction. But we're talking one in a million people.
Okay.
So I don't want to rule it out, but the chances of your customers ever encountering this are about the same chances as winning pretty good in the lottery.
Yeah.
So it does happen, but it's really, really rare. 99.9% of the time, if someone is concerned about iodine, they need to talk to their doctor, whoever told them they're allergic to it, and say, am I allergic to elemental iodine? Does that mean I can't eat fish? Does that mean I can't eat sushi? Does that mean I can't drink milk?
Or have miso soup.
am I allergic to this iodine-based dye that has all these other synthetic
right,
compounds in
right.
it that I reacted to? Or am I allergic to the protein in the shellfish? So they need to do a little bit of investigation before they believe, because quite honestly, you'll die if you don't have enough iodine on board.
Well, it's like water. I mean, and then there's the radioactive iodine, too, which a lot of people can have severe reactions to. And, of course, they'll use that to kill your thyroid also.
So there's lots of issues around iodine where people start to have some concerns about it. But for the most part, yes, people can use iodine, especially if you are feeling that you're having some thyroid slowdown. You mentioned the hair. We didn't talk very much about that, but
right.
that's classic. Your hair starts to become thinner. If it doesn't become thinner, the quality of the hair changes, and so it becomes dry and brittle and breaks off easily. The outer third of the eyebrow sometimes is lost. I call that Mr. Spock syndrome.
The
eyebrow goes up, but the eyebrow doesn't come back down again. And so, ladies,
wow.
if you find yourself penciling in that last third of your eyebrow, you might be a little bit low in the thyroid department. So a lot of these issues come to bear, and when you start to feel that maybe this would benefit you, using therapeutic levels of iodine,
right.
using higher doses of iodine, can be tremendously beneficial, because there is no organ in the body that's so specifically reliant upon a single mineral as is the thyroid gland and iodine.
Okay.
You know, I mean, there just isn't. Can you name the one thing your heart needs to make the heart work? Can you make the one thing the ovaries need to make hormones?
Right, right. Yeah,
you
it's
know?
Complex.
No, but when you talk about what's the one thing the thyroid gland needs, or it won't make thyroid hormone, and that's iodine, because it's a raw material that the thyroid gland uses to make thyroid hormone.
Right.
That and an amino acid called L-tyrosine.
Tyrosine, yeah, that's where we get the T4, the T3, the 3 is the little iodine in general. The 3 is the little iodine, the T is the tyrosine. And in the Midwest here, in the central states, we really don't have, and we talked about that, you know, they've taken iodine out of everything. It's not in the bread anymore. And, you know, there's a little bit in salt, and we're told to cut back on our salt intake, which is another whole issue, actually. Just to throw this in, salt has been scientifically, clinically proven not to significantly increase your incidence or increase your blood pressure, but we can get into that later. So I've gone round and round with doctors on that, and there was a good Harvard major study from Harvard showing that's really not true. It's a
urban legend. But anyway, yeah, you know, we don't get iodine from anywhere. And I was reading somewhere too, I think it was in the Lancet of Diabetes Endocrinology way back when, Kate Jolly did some research. And basically, the statement was iodine deficiency in pregnancy remains the leading cause of preventable retardation worldwide. So I know it's very, very important for women that are pregnant to actually make sure that their iodine levels or that they're supplementing, or at least talk to their doctor about that. Because if you're low in iodine while the fetus is
essential
maturing
for brain development.
Yeah, it's very essential for brain development. And also if you're low in iodine while you're pregnant, your child is likely as they grow up to have iodine deficiency problems, thyroid issues, and so forth. You know, it's just very, very important that they get that. So it's something, you know, if you're pregnant, you definitely want to be talking to your doctor about that. Now, the thyroid gland basically is a thermostat. It controls so many things. Iodine is one of those things that is really beneficial. I know the average Japanese, the last report, it keeps going up, but the last report, they get about 14.5 milligrams of iodine. I know you make a supplement that's about 12.5, and then you've got all kinds of different variations. I think there's one that's 3.25 that a lot of times if people think they're going to have an issue, a detox issue, or just a...
We should talk about that detox issue.
Yeah, okay,
because
let's.
Because that is something that happens, and I'd say about 25% of people who take iodine have some kind of, within the first week, a little bit of itching on the skin.
Itching, yeah, I was just going to say, that's the first thing that we sometimes hear about, and that's the toxic halogens coming out.
Yes, and some of the bromides as well. So we forget that when we perspire, you know, the way that our body gets rid of things is, they have that rhyme, you know, perspiration, exhalation, defecation, urination.
I haven't heard that. Do that again. I haven't heard that one before.
Perspiration, exhalation, defecation, urination. So you've got all these avenues that the body pushes out toxins. Well, we know about urine and feces. We know that they have, you know, a toxic load, and that's how our body gets rid of waste material. But people forget that perspiration gets rid of toxins as well.
Well, that's why the saunas are so big. I mean, I've got a lot of customers into the infrared saunas, and they're like, oh, it makes me feel so good. I'm like, yeah, because it's making you sweat and bringing out all those toxins.
Mm-hmm. And so when you take iodine, you know, we didn't go into a lot of the chemistry about iodine, and your folks that are listening may not even be that interested, but iodine has some cousins on the periodic table, and those cousins look like iodine, but they don't function like iodine. In fact, they're downright toxic.
Right.
So, for example, the three major ones we worry about are fluoride, chlorine and chloride, bromine and bromide. So if your body is not replete with iodine, guess what happens? You start to accumulate iodine lookalikes, because every single cell in the body has an iodine receptor site. And when you have the receptor site empty, then bromide can latch on, or chlorine can latch on, or fluoride can latch on. And all of these things are irritating and carcinogenic. So when we look at how to best make sure that we're getting rid of these compounds, putting iodine on those chairs pushes the bad guys off of their seats.
Right.
And when you push the bad guys off their seats, they got to go somewhere, don't they?
Just
like musical chairs, isn't it? Who knew that you had a party going on in your bloodstream and in your cells, you know? But when we do that, what we find is that a lot of that comes out through the perspiration.
Oh, okay, that's one of the first places it'll come out in. Okay.
Right, so people get a little itchy at first, especially if they start with a higher dose, like 12.5,
so
which
a
most
good
people
thing.
Do just fine with. So when you do that, when you have the perspiration that's carrying some of these toxic compounds out of your body, you can get itchy, and I've even seen some people get rashy.
Oh, really? You can almost a rash. Okay. All right.
Not big, not huge, not like, you know, the measles or something, but a little bit, you know, reddened area.
So you're not going to get hives or poison ivy welts.
All right. And so people go, oh, my God, maybe I'm allergic to this. That's how that whole I'm allergic to iodine thing, I think, got started. And they're not allergic. They're just detoxing. So they have a couple of choices. They can lower their dose until their body is got all the chairs filled with iodine and go back up again more slowly. So So their benefits will take longer to occur, but they won't have as much of the reaction, or they can just tough it out for a couple of days.
Push through it, right. And
now,
a lot of times people will drink.
I've had that happen to me myself when I first started iodine. Because I wasn't aware of all the iodine benefits until I started to work with Terry and started to work with him on some of the research and preparing the technical literature on this. I thought, goodness gracious, I absolutely should be on this product.
Right.
And I started to take it, and the first few days I was like, wow, I must have gotten into something. You know, like maybe got into the weeds. My arms are a little itchy.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh. Then it went, duh, that's what's happening.
Right.
So to me, in a way, weirdly, that was a good sign. I felt like, oh, it's doing something. And then it lasted about, I was a little extra itchy for 3 or 4 days, not like clawing myself or putting on Benadryl lotion or whatever,
right,
or calamine lotion, but just, you know, a little itchy, especially, I tell you, when it was most itchy is when I took a really hot shower, because that hot shower
was
really
bringing out the perspiration, right. Right.
And but other than that, you know, it lasted a couple of days and it was gone. I've been fine ever since.
Well, I've had people tell me too that their urine just kind of gets off color, smells a little bit too. I don't know and I know that the toxic halogens will come out in your urine. So, you know, that again, it's a good thing. A lot of times people can drink a lot more water, or, you know, like you mentioned too, you can cut back a little bit on it. And or you can just push through it, and then you really feel good. But, you know, we didn't even hardly get a chance to discuss how iodine is involved with that thyroid function and how important it is for your thyroid. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about how much people should take. I think the average dose, your company puts out a 12.5 milligram.
Yes.
I know a lot of integrative doctors will go 25, 50, even 100 milligrams. I think when you get into the higher dosages, you probably should work with your doctor. We're going to run out of time here. I think next time we'll talk a little bit more about exactly, you know, I think we know everything we need to know about iodine. I don't know. There's a lot there, but iodine is extremely important in thyroid function. It's very, very important for hypothyroidism and even hyperthyroidism. And then, of course, we've got the adrenal. A lot of times, sometimes you have to address the adrenals first. So maybe we could talk about that next time, Cheryl.
That sounds great. But
awesome.
I do want to throw out a fact, and that many people may not know. The average iodine consumption has dropped 50% in this country because they've taken iodine out of so many things.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
our
soil is no longer rich in iodine, therefore the things grown in our soil is not rich in iodine. So we've dropped 50% since the late 1970s.
Wow.
At the same time, thyroid cancer has increased 300%.
Interesting. Well, we're out of time, Cheryl. All right, hon.
All righty.
We're going to talk to you next time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The preceding information was not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Always seek the advice of your qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.